Good afternoon. Welcome to another episode of We the People Radio. Today's September 12th, 2021, just in case we re-air this at a future date and talk about things that are current and you wonder why we've gone insane. And that's important these days. You know, we should know who's gone insane and who hasn't. We should be able to identify them easily. And Bill didn't really want to do full disclosure, but, you know, I thought it was only fair, you know. So basically, I'm one of the heretics. I don't have a vaccine. Don't wear a mask. I think basically people should be left alone. And the government shouldn't run our lives because I think they kind of suck at it most of the time. And just want to be clear.
I disagree somewhat with that.
Are you faking? I'm
transvaccinated.
Yes, I was just going to say, are you transvaccinated?
I'm transvaccinated. I'm not actually vaccinated, but I identify as vaccinated. So, yeah.
Bill's working on the shirt because we saw that on a shirt. It's like, oh my God, we have to find that shirt. I know you can make shirts, so I think we might actually do that. For those of you who are like, what did he say? That was funny.
What?
I'll put the little picture of the guy with the shirt. I'll put it on today's page because, honestly, trans-vaccinated. I just thought that was super funny.
Only in California.
Maybe it was extra funny because we went to the Bay Area yesterday and people who live there want the shirt.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah,
Bill,
if you go to the Bay Area, you'll be wearing a mask. And if you really want to be loved, you'll wear the full hazmat suit. And people will fawn over you
from afar.
Yeah, because you know they're very scared.
Nothing like a far fawning.
Yeah.
so Willis, who drew the short straw today and is helping us cover the cost of this program?
Well, it's not a short straw, actually. It's Pape Machinery.
No, I mean we were the short straw.
Yeah. Oh no,
the heretics.
Well,
they're heroes.
I already explained that. I'm not a heretic. I'm a trans-vaccinated. Pape Machinery is our local John Deere Ag and Turf dealer. And they're located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard up in Shasta Lake City. And go up and see them. If you're looking for a new tractor, pick a John Deere. Because, boy, they run forever. And you can get parts, sales, and service on those pretty much anywhere you go. So go up and see him, or
that's
give him
true.
A call.
We saw him all along I-5 yesterday.
Oh yeah, there's John Deere dealers everywhere. Unlike some of the competition, and you can give him a call at 226-9226, or catch him on the web at papemachinery.com.
Ta-da!
There you go.
There we go.
Yeah,
not bad from a heretic and a transvaccinated.
Yeah.
So far, we're cooking with Crisco. No one knows what that is anymore, so I guess I'll have to update that. Apparently, I'm old.
Yeah, it's cooking with canola, let me tell
Actually,
you.
Actually, we heard somebody say that it was as the bird flies the other day, and it's like, no, buddy, it's as the crow flies. What the heck? Yeah. These expressions have been around for a long time.
Yeah, they're all changing.
Get with the program.
We have to catch up with the times.
Funny. Yeah. So we have two Dr. Chens on today, first hour and second hour. So the first hour, we have Dr. Shizong Chen, and he, unless he changed his mind, which he obviously can do, because that would be fun too, but he was thinking that maybe we ought to talk a little bit about how the U.S. Triumphed over the Soviets, but can't figure out how to get one over on the Chinese. I'm sure all of you listening have lots of ideas about how that's taking place, Biden's, and we'll probably get into some of that, but he's been active in projects concerning China for over 30 years, founded or been spokesperson for a number of organizations concerning China, and has spoken extensively on issues related to China. He began his activism in 1989 when he helped to organize supporting activities during the 1989 Beijing student movement, and he was outraged by the June 4th massacre. Dr. Chen founded Tiananmen Square Foundation and has served on the board of the Press Freedom Guardian and was elected vice president of the Independent Federation of Chinese Students and Scholars in the U.S. He has, his background is science, interestingly enough. I'm going to kind of move move toward the end. He was born in China in 1962, so he'll be turning 60 like me next year. So we'll have to have a little party for him. And at 15, he entered the gifted program at China University of Science and Technology, came to the U.S. in 1982 to study, and received his Ph.D. in molecular biology at the University of California, San Diego, and he currently owns and runs a molecular biology startup in San Diego. We've done a bunch of shows on China, and many of those have been with Dr. Chen, and I have them at wethepeopleradio.us. If you look along the top bar, China is one of the tabs up there. If you click on that, you'll find all the shows with all the different people we've done on China for the last several years. We didn't just start doing this when the pandemic showed up. It was a little bit of a happy accident. We started on shows with China back in November of 2018. And so when all this stuff started, it's like, oh, we didn't have such a hard learning curve. Neither did our listeners. So if you're behind the eight ball on China and what they're up to, and you don't want to learn it in those one-minute snippets on that thing we call the news, please tap into those shows. We've got a lot in print. We add as much detail on the pages for the shows as we possibly can. Anything they send us, articles, PDFs, video, anything, and all the archives are free to listen to. They're just MP3 files. You can download them. You could give them to people. You can do whatever you like with them. They're not copyrighted, and we hope you share them far and wide. So, Dr. Chen, how's the world working for you today? We haven't talked to you in a little while.
Not for a while, but I want to say, how can people not love you guys? Translated. Trans heretics. Oh, my God. I cannot imagine how people not love you guys.
Oh, we're in acquired taste.
I love you guys the best. You know, once you become trans, then when you think about it, once you become trans, you can love by both sides, right?
You would think.
Absolutely.
But, you know, we saw that they chased Larry Elder around with a monkey mask. So, I mean, if you would have tried that with Barack Obama, I'm sure somebody would have been burned at the stake. But, it's not it. But, you know, honestly, some of this stuff has become so crazy. There's a video out there, I think I posted it last week, on mass psychosis. It's short, still 20-minute thing. And it really explains like phenomena and like Salem witch trials and things like that. And you look at now how people are, you know, it's the unvaccinated. They're the ones that are killing us. And I just think that's kind of funny because, like, the people with the polio vaccine don't get polio from people who have polio because that's how vaccines work. But I guess this one doesn't work like that. We're headed there again, but that video made me really happy because they said the only way to combat this was humor. I thought, oh, my God, that's fantastic. We'll never become part of the mass psychosis because we can't stop laughing at them. So,
well,
feel free to join us.
The ability to maintain a humorous mind, I think, is a true indicator of being healthy. I really think so, that under these circumstances, you can still maintain this kind of, relaxed attitude. I think it's an ability a lot of people no longer, have nowadays.
That's sad.
Yeah.
You know, you look at that and you think, yes, there's a lot of serious stuff going on in the world, and it's going to stay serious, but there are clever people everywhere. There was another meme that came out, and it was something that my brother, if he could still do stuff like that, he would have made it. It just made me laugh. It was like a play on the Top Gun, the old Top Gun movie. And it was, the Taliban guys, and they said, we want to do a flyby. And it says, negative, Ghost Rider, this pattern, or a Goat Rider, this pattern is full. And it's like, so somebody looked at the Afghanistan thing, which was, there's nothing good happening there, and kind of found a little, little humor. I think that's how you get through this stuff. While we're fixing it, hopefully. I mean, can't just screw around the whole time. But
yeah. So the reason I picked this topic is result from back in June, I watched the news that Arizona was discussing an educational bill, and a Republican state senator in Arizona, you know, dropping a line, asking the education and, you know, institution there to teach young students the danger of communism. And then some Democrats mocked that and claimed that white nationalism is the true threat of, you know, our democracy in the United States. I think in the same way that unvaccinated people are the the true threat
yeah.
to the United States, I guess, right? But there is a Vietnamese, you know, refugee now turned into Arizona senator, and he gave a speech, and I think it's very important. And I watched that. This is why I picked this topic today. He said, "Why nationalism did not drown a quarter of a million people in South China Sea? Why nationalism did not kill 86,000, you know, at the fall of Saigon?" And Senator Nguyen is his name. He said he lost most of his cousins to communism. So when I watched that, I realized, wow, how time has changed everything. That the fact that we need to teach the threat of communism nowadays, and that there are people even mock the proposal for that, I mean, that in itself is just, that caused my brain, you know, turning. And this is that topic has ever since been on my mind since then, because I realized that the threat of communism itself didn't need any education before 1990s, because at that time the threat of communism was real to every American, right? In multiple ways. First of all, the Soviet Union, and it's more than the Soviet Union, the Soviet bloc of countries, the European countries, their military power, you know, is a threat to the free world, not just to the United States, to the free world every day, number one. Number two, waves and waves of, you know, victims from communism, you know, who escaped to the free world, reminds people in the West, in the Western or in the free world, what it is like for the communism, under communism ruling. And so that the threat of the communism alert Americans and people in the world that what they'll lose. Right. And so the militant communism actually inspired people in the free world to resist communism. Because, you know, once you're overrun by communism, you have everything to lose, you have nothing to gain.
Right.
And so, and plus, those victims would serve as, you know, samples and examples of what it's like if you lose your freedom. And so once people's minds are made, where there's a will, there's a way, right? And so that was how the free world was able to triumph over the Soviet Union. And that was, at that time, was the second most powerful country or force in the world. Now, China has replaced Soviet Union.
Yeah.
As the second most powerful country in the world. The communism is the same, but the form of the communism has changed. It used to be militant communism. Now, it is a monetary, I wouldn't call it economic, but it is, originally it was a threatening communism. Now it's a seductive communism.
Yeah, that's kind of a, you know what, that's a good description of it, because they have sort of lured people in. There is a weird seduction going on. How creepy that could even be used that way, but I guess people fall for a lot of stuff. We've got to take a really quick break. We'll be right back with our guest, Dr. Shizong Chen. You are listening to We the People, and you can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.
Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. We're so glad you could attend. Come inside, come inside. There behind the glass stands a real blade of grass. Be careful as you pass. Move along, move along. Come inside, the show's about to start. Guaranteed to blow your head apart.
We're back. Okay, so when we were on our way out to the break, you had said that this latest wave was a seduction of sorts, and I think that's a really good description of it.
Yeah. So I think it's, for our audience, it's necessary to review how this seductive communism has come about. It wasn't used to be this way, right? Robbery, actually, looting.
That's true. Looting used to be bad, too.
Yeah. The looting and robbery is the easy way to get rich, right? So it has historically, it's always been that way. I mean, Hitler was that way. Stalin was that way. But at the fall of the communism, we use the term CCP here, the Chinese Communist Party was the major communist regime remaining after 1992. Right? But it's, ironically, the fall of European communism start with 1989 China student movement in Beijing, the same movement that got me involved in China politics. So as the CCP tanks rode into Tiananmen Square to crush the student movement, in Poland, the solidarity movement at the same time won their first election. And then at the end of that year, 1989, I remember watching on TV with my friend, we were actually discussing, in a meeting, we were discussing forming our overseas political party to stand up against the CCP. That was, my stand of involved in the movement at that time. And interestingly, our meeting was outside, was guarded by FBI. Anyway, so I remember in that Christmas, 1989 Christmas night, the news reported Ceausescu of Romania was overthrown and executed. And it was bittersweet. It is, you know, it's happy to see other people, other nation got free. And yet, we were also sitting there thinking, wow, why the fate has always dealt the Chinese people the shorter end of the deal. And it started out with us, you know, with Chinese student movement. And yet that movement was crushed. So at that time, we didn't anticipate things would go to where it is now. And then in the next 3 years, the defeat of communism in Europe is so thorough that not only the Chinese Communist Party lost its legitimacy in governance because of the 1989 massacre of the student movement, but also by the beginning of 1992, communism has totally, outside of China, has totally legitimized. And so Chinese Communist Party faced two crises, not only the legitimacy in government, but also the legitimacy in its ideology. So that is when what I later called generous barbarism. Right? So I hope people will remember this name. You know, to me, he's the most evil person in the whole world, in the history of the whole world. His name is Jiang Zemin. He was the head of the CCP at that time. He came to his power through bribery, through immorality, right? And so that was the only thing he knew. So then he applied that to the world, to the CCP's diplomacy. And that is the, let me put it here for now, that is the same diplomacy that Wall Street hoped China would adopt again. Right? Mm-hmm. Wall Street is pushing for that again. Right? Anyway, Jiang Zemin was the one that started to use that strategy. And he tried to tell the world that we're not a threat. Not only we're not a threat, but we're willing to share our profit with you. Right. The only condition is that you look away from what we do inside China. And that fits the Wall Street perfectly. Right? All they care is about money. Right? And Wall Street become the CCP's best friend, trying to rationalize China's the CCP's change. Basically, the morph of the communist, seductive communism. It now turned China into what Biden called competitive partner, right? Instead of threat, no longer a threat. But at that time, it was the older Bush, not the younger Bush. Bush the father, the president, right? And that was the beginning. But this communism, the Chinese communism of all communist regime, Russia included, the Chinese communism is the most barbaric, right? Many books, many data documented communism kill over 100 million in the world. The Chinese communism would account for 80 million of that 100 million. Right? So it is the most barbaric regime. But with Wall Street's window dressing, as well as the CCP's own, it's not that. It can only do this at that time. The Chinese Communism is very weak. Right? It's only thinking about surviving. Right? So it had a what is now we call the second most powerful economy at that time. It has a very meager beginning. Right? It was only looking for survival. However, it turns out seduction is more effective than threat. No government in the world has ever faced this kind of a generous barbarism. They didn't know how to deal with it. No one was able to resist that seduction. And they all started feed into that seduction, feed into the so-called China's market, right? And that helped the Chinese communism to grow till what is now the second most powerful country. And it is the whole world, particularly the United States, who fed that monster, right? The dangerous part of that seduction is that I was, you know, up to this point, okay, up to this point, we, Aaron talked about we had a head start of this program in 2018, we talk about generous barbarism. And so up to this point, what I talked, it was, we were able to see this coming. Yeah. But from this point on, you know, what happened after COVID-19 is new. This is something I didn't anticipate. And what happened after COVID-19 exposed a whole new level of failure in the whole world, not just the Chinese communism, but also the United States. But let me talk about the Chinese government as a failed government. We talked about this in one of our previous programs, but let me use an example. Last year, there was this flood along the Yangtze River, the largest river in China. It was at such a danger that even the largest dam in China, the Yangtze River Dam, was at risk. And so they had to do some, the flood. They have to open some floodgates somewhere, right, along, you know, in different parts in China. Right? And that caused some outcry. But they learned from the failure in the bad way, right? When we talk about learning from failure, usually it's meaning you gain something positive. But in this case, they gain something negative. Right? So they learned, oh, that works. Right?
Yeah.
Because in China, those officials, they only care about their own so-called achievement. Right? So any disaster, anything would look bad on their failure, would look bad on their resume. So this year in the city of Henan, a province, there was a storm. It is one of the largest storm, but they opened the floodgate of several dams without without informing the public. And it caused a flood in Zhengzhou City, the capital city of the Henan province, not informing the people. So a tunnel as well as a subway was flooded. Unknown number was killed because the failure of the government to inform people. Now, the reason they do that is because it's easier to cover up the failure by lies. And then enforcing the lies by violence. It's easier to do that way than admit to the failure. And this is exactly what they used in the COVID-19. Everybody knows where COVID-19 came from. Right? But not in China.
Oh, really?
Chinese people, large number of Chinese people, believe COVID-19 originated from the United States, actually.
Wow. So, they have such tight control over the information that they really don't actually get is it that hard to get the information, or is it that it's just easier if you don't know and you just kind of follow the drill?
It's two things. It's a combination of two things. For people who easily follow lies, words. But there are other people who are not so easy. And so the people who believe in their lies are their base, right? And the people who do not believe in that becomes their enemy.
Yeah, and there's a high price to pay for being on the enemy's list.
Their enemy. And that's why I say it's easier to control the society that way. Now, the important thing is that in this country, we're learning that. Yeah. We'll talk about that part. So this is how that government has learned from failure and make itself a more failed government. This is a vicious cycle, and it's a new cycle that humanity hasn't figured out.
And in a weird way, here that's being promoted. I mean, they're not saying, hey, let's do it just like China, but they are kind of following that same path. And for whatever reason, people seem not to be seeing it. I mean, you look at the contact tracing and all the different things that would lead up to ratting out your neighbors. And, you know, now the employers are supposed to be checking, and whether or not that all actually materializes is another matter. But the idea that here in this country, we would be promoting things like that, that you have to get yourself involved in everyone else's medical thing. If you've already had a vaccine, I mean, move on. We don't run around and tattle on people who've got the measles or chicken pox or...
No, but there's so many people are
like
going
that.
Along with it.
That's what I mean. Yeah. People are actually thinking that it's okay. I mean, Salem witch trials, anyone? We'll be right back, though, with our guest, Dr. Chen. And we have him until the top of the hour. So this little ditty from Ray Stevens, we thought we'd better play just in case everybody was thinking that, you know, lockdown seemed like a good solution. This would harken back to last year and might remind you of how not awesome it was and how you might want to stand up against that. But we're going to do that through Ray Stevens, who's funny. So, of course, you know, we don't want to just tell you that. Don't take our word for it. Take Ray Stevens' word for it. You can find us at We
the People. Because he knows.
Because he totally knows. You can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.
I wash my hands. I don't touch my face. I stay at home. Shelter in place. Social distance. Don't go to work. I'll wear a mask and gloves. Stay away from church. 6 feet apart. That is the rule. And I pray for the day the kids can go back to school. I'm washing my hands like a raccoon with OCD. I've watched Hulu, Roku, Netflix, PBS, and the BBC. I've taken down all my mirrors, and I'm sick of what I see. 2 more weeks of quarantine will be the death of me.
I guarantee you they're not playing that song in Australia.
No. Find no humor in Australia.
Since they mostly signed up for that forever. So just in case you forgot how great last year was and how they'd like to do that to us again, you should listen to the whole Ray Stevens song and just, you know, remind yourself of how not great that was.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, it didn't actually help from the looks of it. So
no, didn't do anything.
That just throws another log on the fire. So, Dr. Chen, sorry, we have an abbreviated visit with you today, but I think your point is really, really well taken, that this – tell me this. You live in a different end of the state than we do. You live in a bigger city. Mm-hmm. You think people really are that enamored by the idea of communism?
Unfortunately, it's not called a communism, but in essence, it has so many communism elements hidden in them. I remember we did a program at that time. It was not as well as I am now. I remember January 8th, we did one program. There I had a hunch. I said, this country is about entering into two separate universes. A parallel universe, has values that are the opposite. At that time, I just had that hunch. But I have evolved since then. I mean, many things I'm talking now, it's new to me. I mean, the things we talk about pre-election, at least pre-pandemic, I mean, before 20, those were things I have known as accumulated throughout the years. But many things since then, particularly when I'm speaking now, are new. That I just learned in the past few months, as close as reason as that. The election stunned me. I never imagined this country would let's say downgrade to this point. And so at that time, I said, this country is about to split into two parallel universes. There's nothing, we cannot even have common ground to discuss things between the two parallel worlds. And now I realize shamelessness is the prerequisite of immorality. And that is common to the failure of current governments, current society in the United States, that people are becoming shameless. Right? They, as I said, I just realized that cover things up with lies, and then reinforce those lies with authority in this country, with violence in China, is a cheaper way of controlling the society than what this country used to. Democracy you know, a government of by consent, right? And we're going that way. So that is common, and that is a. And I, while President Trump was in office, I have written letters to him. I don't know whether he got this letter, but I expressed my views to him that the Chinese government was a failed government. And
there's something kind of scratchy on your phone.
Oh, I'm sorry.
We're losing you a little bit. It was so good there for
a
while.
Is it better now?
Oh, that's much better.
There. The scratchiness was overtaking you.
Okay. Yeah. So while President Trump was still in office, I used to write him letters. I don't know whether he got those letters. But I warned him that the Chinese government is a failed government. And with my understanding at that time that the government is not functioning. And I haven't figured out the government can function by negative ways. I know a little bit about how the communist government would function by negative ways, but I didn't learn a democratic government can function this way. We don't have to look further than the most recent Afghanistan failure.
Yeah.
And what is the best way to handle that failure? Not report it. And, or cover up by lies. And then enforce those lies by authority. And so what startled me was I thought after the COVID-19, this country would wake up. Right? But no, it didn't. I wonder if you watched a hearing by several scientists in the Congress, and even scientists have turned into politicians, that scientists, top scientists, knew that mask, vaccine, all those, it doesn't work, right? But because they think to tell the truth, to let the public know about the scientific truth, would be helping President Trump. So they did not speak of scientific truth. So that came out from the hearing. And so this country, this society, has entered into, a shamelessness state. As I say, shamelessness is a prerequisite of immorality, and we are heading towards that. So I think I'm sure what I say is very rude to people in this country. I'm afraid this country is also failing. At least government is failing. But before I go there, I want
to... Uh-oh. That got very quiet.
He wanted something.
Before I go there? And it was like, he's gone.
Yeah.
Better try calling him back.
CCP got him.
He's still on there. No. Because we can't hear him. Try him back again. It shows he's still on there, but something happened. I'm sure that the... Oh! Hold on. I hear sounds of a struggle. Dr. Chen, are you in there?
No.
Struggle's ongoing. I do think he's right, though.
Oh, absolutely.
That idea of shamelessness. It's true, too. You look at some of the things that, well, I mean, geez, I was just walking the dog yesterday. I mean, that was a classic case.
Yeah.
You know, cat runs out, the dog's kind of go crazy. And the guy tells me I'm lacking decorum because I was trying to teach my dogs to sit down and not chase his cat. But I was near his front door. I was on the sidewalk, public sidewalk, but he came out and wagged his finger at me and told me I had no decorum. And I thought, you're mental.
He's talking about cat decorum. That's totally different.
I just thought that was so weird. I thought, what the hell is wrong with you? And at the vet, I had a guy back out, try to rip my mirror off. It's like, all right, people, gone insane. Dr. Chen, you're back?
Yeah, I'm back. Sorry.
That's all right.
Somehow my line got dropped. So, you know, this country, right, we used to attribute our success to our democracy, right? To a large extent, it was true, right? But then when I think about the history of this country, no democracy will enable a government or a nation to do something like the Amistad, where this country defend a ship of strangers. We didn't even know where they came from, right? And the nation risk its greatest national interest, its alliance with mighty Spain, to defend a few strangers where we didn't even know where they came from. And then this country would engage in a civil war for the freedom of slaves. So those are not necessarily, nowadays I don't think they are the direct result of democracy. Rather, they're the result of morality. So this country, I believe we succeeded by its morality.
Yeah, I think that's now, a really valid distinction. I don't think it was our form of government. It was our mindset.
Right. Our value, our standard. And we're failing that standard. And as a result of communism, of the destruction of value. And so I think this country is failing God's interest and assignment. This country is supposed to defend righteous or people's belief in God. And now we are working with the anti-theist Chinese communist regime. And that is the biggest failure of this country.
I think
and
so,
that's
too.
That's why we cannot cope with it.
Nope. We have run out of time, but we will come back with you and we will talk on a different day. Dr. Shizhan Chen has been our guest this first hour. Dr. Wen Chen is coming on next hour, and we'll be right back with you listening to We the People. And you can join us online at wethepeopleradio.us. You know there ain't no rest for the wicked. Money don't grow on trees. We got bills to pay. We got mouths to feed. There ain't nothing in this world for free. I know we can't slow down, we can't hold back, though you know we wish we could. I know there ain't no rest for the wicked until we close our eyes for good.